5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's hovering, and it's not an aircraft. Frederick Valentich. Welcome to Grimly.
On cow.
It will never get old. Shit. It was yesterday. I caught 3 huntsman spiders in my house.
Oh. Are those huntsman spiders?
On my window? That's a garden spider.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking like the big fuckers.
So there's something bigger than that?
Yeah.
I don't see. I know people talk about, this is going to sound crazy. I know people talk about like the spiders in the fall here. Other than like a few that are outside, I've never had a problem with them. What? Tell me more about... I'm going to need to look up a photo.
Yeah, look up a huntsman spider.
Because I don't think I'm reacting properly to your story, because I'm like, I can't picture how big...
They are, yeah.
I don't like the look of it.
It's too big...
No, no!
Yeah.
That's the size of someone's hand!
It's too big to kill. I think. I mean, not because...
Oh, because it's like just... It's a
living thing.
Oh, totally. I won't even kill those.
Yeah.
So you had to catch it.
I had to catch it. I caught 3.
How big was it compared to all these? Because you're not looking at what I'm looking at. They might be like the size of a baseball.
Oh, these are like spiders from...
Australia?
Mm-hmm.
That was my reaction.
Yeah.
I just thought you had some...
No. What are they called? I thought they were called huntsman spiders. Wolf spiders?
We have the wrong spider.
Yeah, this is what it is.
Shit. Oh, it's still ugly. I don't know. They are unfortunately very ugly. I don't like it. It's kind of...
They're big.
Can I get kind of nauseous looking at photos of them? It's so... Like, you don't feel like you want to throw up?
No, I did. I definitely did when I was like trying to catch it.
Trying to gag in the microphone. What the fuck is wrong with me? I can't help it.
No, they're pretty big. Okay.
Gross. What a fun day. 3 of those guys.
Three
huh?
of those motherfuckers.
Just today. I wonder how many you'll get this week total.
Yeah, I mean, like, those things can, like, take out life insurance if they wanted to.
I wouldn't kill it either, so. The only thing I will kill in my house is a fly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, just
fleas.
Something.
I have pets, so.
Right. I mean, we have to kill those.
Yeah.
For our pet's health.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gross.
It just, every time I do it though, I always imagine, is this feeling like being abducted by aliens?
Are we having an alien story?
We are having an alien story.
Thank you.
That is the segue. No, but like, I mean, it has to feel like that, right?
I have, yeah, certainly.
I mean, you're like put into a glass.
I don't know what they,
something slid underneath
I
you.
I would like to know if it makes them queasy, like if you're on a ride. You know, that's like going too fast, like you lose your stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe they feel like that because maybe. We move so quickly. Like if you just got in an elevator that blasts you. Yeah, or like
you're being abducted.
Elevator.
Space elevator.
Just blasted you.
That's funny.
I feel like my tummy, I would totally feel queasy if I was beamed up.
By a person?
Most definitely. Unless there was some kind of technology to keep me comfortable. I don't know what kind of aliens.
I feel like you feel like you're floating. From like what people have talked about.
Well, it depends on how fast you're floating. I don't want to float quite float quickly.
I guess technically if you're off the ground, you're floating. Right?
I think you have to be suspended in air. Or you could be rising. But
is there a difference between floating, levitating, and being suspended in air?
I don't know.
Am I getting too profound?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm like, damn, we just started.
So, yeah, I figured since we're about to get into Halloween season, that I'm going to be insufferable.
Say that about yourself. It's not possible.
Oh, no. I'm fine with it.
All right, I'll let you know when it gets there.
I'm just going to keep going, though.
I already think it's not possible, but I'll
thank you.
Let you know. I'll be like, we're on the meter. We're on the meter now.
It's teetering. You're teetering.
What are we teetering talking about to today, insufferable.
Missy? So we are going to be talking about the abduction of Frederick Valentich.
Oh, have it's an abduction story.
It's an abduction story. Yeah, awesome. I wasn't lying to you.
I forgot.
Okay. Also, by the way, this is Grimly.
Welcome to Grimly. I'm Meg.
I am Missy. And we're both insufferable.
Yeah.
So Frederick Valentich was a 20-year-old pilot in 1978. I almost didn't put the year in just because I knew you were going to forget about it.
Okay. I think 20-year-olds is very young. He's already quite accomplished. Is it a commercial pilot? Do we know?
Well, he had lofty goals.
Okay.
Of becoming a commercial pilot.
What's his name? I forgot. I didn't listen to the name. I got the year, but I didn't hear the name this time.
Frederick Valentich.
Oh, Valentich. Okay.
Yeah, you ever heard the story?
No.
Oh, okay. Anytime I talk about a UFO story, I'm expecting you to know it.
Oh, okay. That works.
I'm not saying you have to. I just always anticipate you knowing
at least something. I'd be like, oh, that sounds familiar, but.
Right. Okay.
Not tracking.
Okay. So he did have lofty goals of becoming a commercial airline pilot his entire life. He applied to be in the Royal Australian Air Force. So we're in Australia.
Cool.
But he was rejected twice because he didn't meet the educational qualifications.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. I feel like
you do need to meet those. You got to meet those.
Yeah.
It's an important job.
It is an important job, especially commercial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Stakes are high.
So he lived with his parents, Alberta and Guido.
Okay.
I like it. It's not the Jersey Shore. This is Australia.
Guido. How is it spelled? Do you know?
It is spelled G-U-I-D-O.
It's Guido. Just like
it's literally Guido.
Okay. I wonder where he's from.
They're from Italy.
Really?
Yeah, they immigrated from Italy to Australia.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So he lives in a suburb with his parents called Avondale Heights in Melbourne, Australia.
Melbourne, I think.
Is it Melbourne?
I think so.
You're probably right. He also lived in the home with his three younger siblings, Richard, 12, and twin sisters named Olivia and Laura. They were both three.
Okay.
So it's a pretty big, significant age gap there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a picture of him, the top.
Okay. How old was he? I thought he doesn't look like a 20-year-old, but...
I think he's 20.
Damn. Skinny.
Yeah, he's got some chiseled.
Yeah, maybe it's going not on. Good lighting. He's attractive. I don't know, I was expecting more. Sorry. I feel bad. That's so rude.
You're very rude.
So rude.
Man.
He does look otherwise like you would expect him to. A clean cut.
He's pilot.
He looks serious.
He looks like he's like a good contour, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the light, the shadows.
Right? Yeah.
Copy.
So even though he had been rejected twice, Frederick was a member of the RAAF Air Force Training Corps. Which is kind of like, in the States, we call it ROTC.
Okay.
Like, you're kind of training to, like, maybe get into the academy.
Okay.
It's like an academy before the academy is kind of what it seems like to me.
Sounds like exactly what you want to do if you want to be a pilot.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like a cadet school. That's what I was looking for. Okay. So it's people who want to get into the Air Force. It's like their cadet school. He also had a girlfriend who was 16 years old, which I don't love.
He was 20.
He was 20.
In the 70s?
In the 70s.
Oh, that would have been the 80s. He was born in 78?
No. He was 20 in 1978.
Oh, he was 20. Yeah.
Yeah. Her name is Rhonda Rushton, though.
Oh, Rhonda Rushton?
Rushton.
Oh, Rushton. I was like, what did you?
Ronda Rushton sounds like a wrestler.
I know. I'm afraid of her. Okay, cool. Girlfriend 16.
Yeah. I mean, he did seem very committed to her, and it did kind of seem like they were end game. I don't want to say that's better. I think we live in a world where we see a lot of 30-year-old men dating like 16-year-olds or 19-year-olds.
It was not uncommon.
It was less.
Nor is it uncommon now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, I don't like it.
Okay.
I guess 4 years isn't like as bad.
It's not an egregious number in the long.
No.
In the span of
life. She could be a mature 16. He could be a immature 20. Best case, worst case scenario.
I don't know. I don't know. Be a pilot. Okay, we're moving on.
Okay. Alan Tetch had been studying to become a commercial pilot, but has failed his exams twice at this point. So he's tried twice.
All right.
And I think it's like 5 different exams.
Okay.
So he's taken 5 different exams twice, failed them.
All of them?
I think most of them.
All right. Well, okay.
Yeah. Even though he had failed his exams twice, he was also still logging flight hours on small aircrafts. And he had over 150 hours of flight experience, which would make him a rookie pilot.
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't sound like very much.
No, it doesn't. So with this experience, Frederick had picked up some infractions on his flight record already. So one time he strayed into a controlled zone in Sydney. And 2 other times he had deliberately flown into clouds.
Okay.
Which I guess you're not supposed to do.
Oh.
I guess it causes turbulence, right?
I don't know, but we do it every day, don't we?
I think if you have to, I think the deliberate...
Like to go through them, to get out of them, like, and I not go just like hang that cloud. Out into the... Well, you know what? If it's just me and this guy and my little plane and there's a cloud, I might go through it. I might do it.
I mean, it's not like you're going to run to a fire hydrant
That's
up there.
That's what I'm saying. There's no tree. There's no other incoming... cars.
Yeah, I don't know, but like there were even talks of him being prosecuted for flying into clouds, so I think it's a big deal.
Wow.
Maybe more of a big deal than we know.
Okay. I mean, I guess you can't, there's no visibility,
right?
So
yeah,
I don't know what's in there.
So maybe actually this next bullet might actually give some insight to that. So with the 150 logged hours of flight time, Frederick was given a Class 4 instrument rating and could fly at night in ideal visual meteorological conditions. And he could also fly alone. But this rating also means that Frederick wasn't permitted to use any in-flight instruments like radar because he didn't have enough experience with them. So I think if you flew into a cloud, you can't see anything and you can't use the instruments yet.
Oh, okay. That's a big deal.
Which you shouldn't be able to fly alone then, I would say.
I guess if you can see...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if he can see, he can fly. But, like, if he's flying into a cloud deliberately, he can't use the instruments.
Yeah, then it's
maybe
dangerous.
That's a problem.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
So I think maybe that's why they're prosecuting him. Or we're going to prosecute him.
Because if you... Something bad happens to you, even if you're alone in your airplane. Something really bad happens. The plane is coming down. And then you could hurt other people.
Right, totally. Or like just debris flying and like hitting other planes. I don't know. Like
absolutely.
In a weird...
It's really like, yeah, okay. It's very, seems like it's serious what's happening up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, flying is serious business, no matter what.
All right, well, he looks the part, but sounds like he's...
Maybe fucking around a little bit.
Kind of fucking around.
I mean, he's 20.
It's a little young, I told you.
It's a little young, yeah. So Frederick, at this time, did have a strong belief in aliens and would often talk to his dad, Guido, about his fears of being attacked by a UFO while flying.
Well, that's why he was going to the planes. Maybe he was looking for them.
Maybe. So 6 days before his disappearance, Frederick was stargazing with Rhonda, and he told her that if there was a moment where a UFO would want to take him, his initial reaction would be to go with them. But he said that he would never leave without her.
Oh, okay. I'm wondering how many pilots are afraid of UFOs. Or how many of them have experienced something or seen something that would mean... Like, I'm just like, is this a thing that pilots worry about or is it just this guy?
Well, I think so. I mean, you gotta remember, like, 1970s...
Oh, that's true.
...is, like, a very big sci-fi era.
That was a long time ago, too.
And there's Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I think that just came out. And so I think UFOs are a little bit more in people's minds.
You're right, it's not 2024.
It's not 2024.
Okay, fine. But still... If they're up there, I bet the pilots are the ones seeing them.
I mean, I think that's why we have Project Blue Book, right? That's all just released footage from pilots, right? Exactly. So, see, I know some alien stuff.
Yep.
It's really funny. I started watching this show on Hulu. God, I can't remember the name of it. It's like true crime, but like there's like a paranormal aspect to it. Okay. It's a brand new show.
What's it called?
I want to say it's like Outlast or something like that. Mm. Or Out There, maybe.
Oh, okay. Sure. That sounds good.
But the second episode, I watched the first episode and it was good. The second episode was aliens. So I was like, eh.
Yeah, I know. It's my favorite.
Yeah, and no, I'm like, man, I really just don't give a shit.
You know, that's why I like the missing 411 stuff.
Yeah. Because it's like a maybe.
Yeah, there are many threads where they think it's like abduction stories.
Right. I mean, yeah, there's some of them for sure. Okay, so we're going to get to the day of the incident.
So there was an incident.
There was an incident.
Okay.
October 21st, 1978. In the evening after 5 p.m., Frederick went to Moorabbin Airport and rented a Cessna 182L, which is considered a light aircraft. And I also think this is the same aircraft that JFK Jr. crashed in, if I'm correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, JFK Jr.?
Yeah.
Remember when he crashed? Oh, the son.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the son of JFK. Yeah, remember what he crashed his plane in like 1999?
Yeah, with his wife. Oh, were they married? I can't remember. I don't know that they were married.
Maybe they weren't. Maybe it was just his like fiance, but damn. Yeah, I think it's the same plane.
Okay.
So this plane only has 4 seats and it's a single propeller engine. So can you imagine that? Right? Little tiny airplane.
Pretty small.
Pretty small. He was planning on making the 125 nautical mile flight to King Island over the Bass Strait, which is kind of a halfway point between Australia and Tasmania.
Okay.
The flight itself, in ideal conditions, which are the only conditions he can fly in, will take about 90 minutes.
What's 150 miles driving? Like, what's the distance? Like, where's... I'm trying to think about how far miles. That is.
Leavenworth?
Yeah, I was going to say Portland, but I was like, that's too far. So maybe.
Yeah, I want to say like Leavenworth from here.
90 minutes?
It's a 90-minute flight. That would take us, what, 3 hours to drive to Leavenworth from here?
I don't know.
We shouldn't triangulate you, maybe.
I don't know. I would think that would take like an hour and a half.
Maybe that's not far enough then.
Yeah, maybe not. Okay.
But yeah, so the flight itself is supposed to take about 90 minutes.
90 minutes, all right.
So Frederick is also doing what is called a full reporting flight, which means that he is supposed to check in with flight service personnel at certain checkpoints on this flight. So like, you're still a rookie, you have to continue to talk to us.
Yeah.
You know, type of situation.
Live, yeah. Okay.
So the details of what his plans are still debated because there were differing stories that Frederick told different people.
Oh.
He told flight officials that he was flying over to King's Island to see and pick up some friends, while he told other people that he was flying over to pick up some crayfish. Frederick also failed to inform King's Island Airport of his plans to fly over and land there, which seems like probably would be a big deal.
Yeah.
This is obviously a standard procedure. He did not do that.
Okay. Is he bad at this, or is he just trying to be sneaky?
I don't know.
Okay.
The flight was also going to be logged as training hours for Frederick, because he originally had planned to do this flight a few days prior, but wasn't allowed because it was too cloudy with his class 4 rating.
Okay.
And, you know, it wasn't the right conditions. So with like the discrepancies, I'm wondering if he like filed the like landing stuff over at King's Island that day, or like maybe he made like different plans. And so that's why there's like different stories. Yeah. Is kind of my guess.
Yeah.
But I actually don't really know. I don't think really anyone knows.
Okay.
But that's kind of what it seems like to me. However, on the evening of October 21st, 1978, the weather was perfect and wind speeds were low. So at 6:19 p.m., just after the sunset, Frederick Valentich takes off at the Moorabbin Airport, off to King's Island. At 7 p.m., Frederick reaches Cape Otway, which is at the southern tip of Victoria's southern coast. So like, kind of like the last land spot, essentially, on Australia. And this is where the ocean and the Bass Strait kind of converge to.
Okay.
So there's like a little bit of a convergence. It's like the last like land mass. It's like a checkpoint essentially for him. So this is about 48 miles from King's Island, which if you're flying, it's 24 minutes away. His first transmission to flight services states, quote, Melbourne.
It says Melbourne.
It does. That's say how Melbourne. It's
spelled. Melbourne.
Okay, his first transmission to flight services states, quote, Melbourne, Delta Sierra Juliet, which is what his calling his flight plan, plane, whatever. Now at Cape Otway, descending for King Island. This is where he reaches a cruising altitude of 4,500 feet, which is what was in his flight plan, because this is kind of the optimal altitude for flying over water and ideal for visibility on the horizon. So,
okay,
everything's going to plan so far. There were also multiple eyewitnesses who see Frederick at this point making this flight, and they also witnessed the plane kind of cut the corner, is what they call it, which is kind of standard practice for the pilots flying this route. It's like basically making like a dog leg because it saves some time and some fuel.
Yeah.
So like also from the ground, everything seems to be going fine. So Frederick has also done this flight before and he did also cut the same corner. So there's nothing at this point.
It's all on track.
On track.
Mm-hmm.
However, at 7.06 p.m. after passing Cape Otway, Frederick contacts flight control and has some concerns and is trying to get clarification because he sees another aircraft flying in his vicinity at 5,000 feet. And this is the conversation with Flight Service Officer Steve Roby.
Hey guys, Missy here. Just a little post-recording edit. So I am going to include the recording from the last transmission from Valentech, but just know that the recording audio is not great. So just be aware of that. It's about 2.5 minutes long. I would say if you're going to listen to any of it, I would listen to specifically the last like 30 seconds, because that I think is the most interesting and probably the most profound part of the recording. But yeah, we'll get back to the episode right now. Thanks.
So The audio is in the episode, obviously, but it's also not great quality. So we're also going to read the transcript of what happens.
All right.
So I am going to be Frederick. It's correspondence. You're going to be Flight Control's correspondence.
Got it. I'm ready.
Melbourne, this is Delta Sierra Juliet. Is there any known traffic below 5,000?
Delta Sierra Juliet, no known traffic.
Delta Sierra Juliet, I am, seems to be a large aircraft below 5,000.
Delta Sierra Juliet, what type of aircraft is it?
Delta Sierra Juliet, I cannot affirm. It's four bright. It seems to me like landing lights.
Delta Sierra Juliet.
Melbourne, this is Delta Sierra Juliet. The aircraft has just passed over me at least 1,000 feet above.
Delta Sierra Juliet, roger. And is it a large aircraft? Confirm?
Unknown due to the speed it's traveling. Is there any Air Force aircraft in the vicinity?
Delta Sierra Juliet, no known aircraft in the vicinity.
Melbourne, it's approaching now from due east towards me.
Delta Sierra Juliet. He's like looking for him.
Right, and now there's an open mic for 2 seconds. Delta Sierra Juliet, it seems to me that he's playing some sort of game. He's flying over me 2-3 times at a time that speeds I could not identify.
Delta Sierra Juliet, roger. What is your actual level?
My level is 4,500. 4,500.
Delta Sierra Juliet, and confirm you cannot identify the aircraft?
Affirmative.
Delta Sierra Juliet, roger, standby.
Melbourne, Delta Sierra Juliet, it's not an aircraft. It is. Open mic for 2 seconds.
Delta Sierra Juliet, Melbourne, can you describe the aircraft?
Delta Sierra Juliet, as it's flying past, it's a long shape. Cannot identify more than that it has such speed. It is before me right now. Melbourne.
Delta Sierra Juliet, roger. And how large would the object be?
Delta Sierra Juliet, Melbourne, it seems to me that it is stationary. What I'm doing right now is orbiting. The thing is just orbiting me on top of me also. It's got a green light. It starts metallic-like. It's shiny on the outside.
Delta Sierra Juliet.
Delta Sierra Juliet. It's just vanished.
Delta Sierra Juliet.
Melbourne, would you know what kind of aircraft I've got? It's a type of military aircraft?
Delta Sierra Juliet, confirm the aircraft just vanished.
Say again.
Delta Sierra Juliet, is the aircraft still with you?
Delta Sierra Juliet, it's no. Now approaching from the southwest.
Delta Sierra Juliet.
Delta Sierra Juliet, the engine is rough idling. I've got set at 23-24, and the thing is coughing.
Delta Sierra Juliet, roger. What are your intentions?
My intentions are to go to King Island. Melbourne, that strange aircraft is hovering on top of me again. It's hovering, and it's not an aircraft.
Delta Sierra Juliet.
Delta Sierra Juliet, Melbourne. And then 15 seconds of strange pulsing noise that is audible during the transmission.
Delta Sierra Juliet. Melbourne.
And that's the end of the transmission.
Okay, and then what happens?
We don't know.
What, did he die? He vanished?
Mm-hmm.
He vanished?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're gonna get into it. Okay, go on.
So that was the last transmission that we just read through, barely. we're not scripted voice actors, obviously.
God, please. So, maybe you can find it somewhere else.
It's not great, no matter where you find it. Trust me, I've tried. So the last transmission from Frederick Valentich are the words, "It's hovering and it's not an aircraft." And then 17 seconds of weird, pulsing, scraping metal noises.
Metal noises?
Yes. Before all contact was lost with the airplane and no one has heard from Frederick again.
Oh my God, did they find the airplane?
We'll get into that.
Okay.
So from the ground, 20 eyewitnesses report that they describe as an erratic green light in the sky from Cape Otway. Three of the eyewitnesses also report that they see the lights of Frederick Cessna and the green light traveling above it, and the green light itself is larger than the plane lights.
Okay.
So they see the, like, because every plane has like a red light on one side and a green light on the other, right?
Yeah.
It's like their landing lights. And they're describing that they're seeing like other green lights hovering around it, and they're bigger, and over it looks like it's over his plane, and it looks like it's a bigger aircraft with the lights on it.
Okay. Damn.
20 eyewitnesses.
Okay.
That's a lot of people.
My God, it's insane.
So eyewitnesses also report seeing some sort of strange cloud formation on an otherwise cloudless day in the sky off of King's Island, and claim that the cloud was moving strangely. And some even claim that they saw an aircraft emerge out of it.
Jesus, okay.
And that the aircraft itself was a cigar-shaped, and it was about 3/4 of the size of a 747 Boeing airplane.
Okay.
Which is a very weird description of the thing.
I know, that looks like a plane. That's like not quite as big as
it's like a 757. 737? 727?
Yeah, because those are cigar-shaped kind of with wings.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. That was the measurement I was given.
So strange.
It's like a boulder sized boulder.
The weirdest way to describe an airplane.
I thought so too.
But it's totally not an airplane. It's an alien ship. Okay.
And so all of the accounts of the like cloud thing on King's Island are about 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Okay.
So from eyewitnesses and Frederick's account, investigators from the Society of Scientific Research determined that the aircraft is about 48 feet wide, is made of a metallic material, and has 4 green lights. That's kind of the rough idea of what this thing looks like.
Damn.
Yeah, it's significant.
Yeah.
Okay. As some would say.
All right.
So at 7:33 p.m., when Frederick did not land on King's Island, a search and team rescue effort was put into effect immediately. During the search, an oil slick was found in the water in an area that the plane could have gone down, but the oil was tested and it was petrol, and that wasn't something that would be used in a Cessna.
Really?
Uh-huh. So okay. It's probably from a boat.
Got it. Okay.
Because, I mean, sense. You know, it's
sure
ocean, Australia stuff.
Okay.
The search for Frederick Valentich went on until October 28th, 1978, but no sign of the pilot or the plane had been found.
Oh, God.
So he just disappeared in the sky.
Wow.
The Australian Department of Transportation puts out a report 2 weeks later, and it determines that Frederick in the Cessna crashed somewhere in the Bass Strait, and he did not survive. 5 years later, a piece of a Cessna washes up on Flinders Island, which is close by. It was a cowl wing flap, but it was heavily corroded.
Hmm.
There were some serial numbers still legible on the flap, and it was determined that they were kind of in the same sequence, but since they didn't have the entire sequence, they actually don't know if it's from his plane specifically.
Okay.
So we actually don't know if that's part of his plane or if it was just like a weird coincidence 5 years later on a different island.
Okay.
So it's a clue or nothing, I think.
True.
Okay, so we're going to get into some theories now. Nice. So obviously a very big and predominant theory is that Frederick Valentich was abducted by extraterrestrial life forms along with his plane, that he had encountered some sort of UFO. That's what he was abducted.
That's either what happened or that's what he wanted us to think happened, because that's what he said happened.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if like the talking about aliens before was just a coincidence. I mean, like I said, it was the 70s, like, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind had just come out.
Yeah, and he was into that stuff.
Yeah, like, are we talking about aliens right now? Then, I don't know, one of us gets abducted week later.
Yeah, what are the chances?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he was obsessed with them because he had seen it before.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, there's that whole thing about, like, people coming back, or, like, them coming back to the same people over and over, right?
Yeah, so, like, certain people's family members or, like, runs in a family or something. Like, there's
Yeah, the alien gene.
If you're one that they like, they're supposed to be very popular.
It's not you're popular girly with the alien.
Yeah.
So our AAF, which is the Royal, you know, it's the Air Force. I'm not going to re-say it. So the RAAF has submitted over 1,000 reports of UFOs, UAPs, between the 1940s and the 1980s.
Okay.
That's just the Australian Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
But whether the Australian military will go on public records saying that these are UFOs, it's kind of the same thing with, like, the states, right? Like, they're acknowledging they exist.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, here's some footage, but we're not saying this is extraterrestrial.
Yeah, because we don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is. We're just saying it's something.
There's something there.
There's something there. Exactly.
I know. It's kind of weird that, like, we don't freak out about it, to be honest.
Constantly. Just constantly screaming at the sky.
Yeah, so just aren't like, what the fuck? Like, if you realize, if you, like, found out, if you saw it, and you were like, oh, like, the whole world was, like, it was right here in our front yard, and we, like, couldn't deny it. Do you not think, like, everything about your life would change after that?
I would think so.
It's like a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Nothing, what do we know? We know nothing.
Right, will you just become those crazy people then? Like, everyone's just like, oh, there's the crazy alien lady, you know?
No, I'm just saying if everybody, there was, you know what I'm saying? Like
an Independence Day.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Because if you're the only one that sees it, you have to go on, like for you, your paradigm, it's like you have no longer think the same way, but you have to pretend like you do, which would be very hard, which is why those people do kind of go crazy or seem crazy. Maybe they are.
Or there are. I mean.
Because you would go crazy.
I think it's a mixed bag of all of it. Some crazy, some actually saw something, some thinks they saw something.
I'm sort of just ready for it, to be honest. Just for the change of it. It would be pretty chaotic, I'm sure, but...
It would be very chaotic, but you know what? Let's get this party started.
Can't handle the truth. That's how bad it is around here.
You're becoming Mulder. Look at you. So there are also multiple eyewitness accounts of the strange cloud lights / aircraft in the sky the night that Frederick went missing. From multiple people in multiple locations. Like, I think that, to me, is probably some of the best evidence for this story. Because, yes, Frederick could have just been like, I'm disappearing for whatever reason. But, like, how everyone else, like, how did he pay a bunch of people to say some stuff?
Yeah, how would he disappear with the plane? It's not like he...
Right. Yeah. The plane's never been found.
Yeah. He would have to go somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. So there's also some photographic evidence of what some believe is an alien aircraft taken by a man named Roy Manifold. He was taking photos of the sunset from Cape Ottawa. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to hate the photo. Just to let you know.
Hold on. He's supposed to have a photo of the thing or the lights?
He's saying that he has a photo of the thing.
Oh.
But... You're gonna be annoyed.
It's probably an image of nothing. That's usually the only time I get really salty about it.
So hold on. He claims that he really didn't see anything on the horizon while taking the photos, but when he got the pictures developed and realized that there was something in the last photo he took, and that was also the same day that, like, shit went down, he's like, oh shit, did I take a picture of something?
Okay.
Are you laughing? It's
oh no. It's a blob. It's literally just a you know what? It seems like something flying in front of the... It's, like, really close.
It seems like a fly.
It definitely seems like something right in front of the camera and not something that's, like, distant in the sky because it's enormous. It's like if the moon was in the sky. Right. That's how big this thing
is.
It's
a horsefly doing a photo bomb, I'm pretty sure. But it's part of the story.
The sunset would be a nice shot, though.
The sunset looks great.
I mean, it's a poor quality photo from the...
The horsefly does not.
It's definitely, like, some kind of debris or something.
Yes.
Sad.
I was like, do I even put this thing in here? But I'm like, whatever, it's fine.
Okay. Nice.
So, the other main theory of what happened in this case is that Frederick Valentich had crashed his plane... because he had become disoriented during his flight and that he was actually flying upside down.
Oh, okay.
And was seeing his own reflection in the water.
Oh, that's reasonable.
So I guess it's pretty common for pilots, especially rookie pilots, to get disoriented and kind of like lose the horizon.
Yeah.
This would explain also the engine sputtering.
That's what they said happened to the Kennedy boy.
JFK, Jr.? Yeah. So this would explain the engine sputtering and the transmission, because Cessnas are not supposed to be flown upside down, obviously. But okay, here's my thing with this. I can kind of see how you can lose the horizon, but you have to know you're upside down.
Oh, because of gravity.
Yeah. I mean, there's just like stuff in the plane that's going to be falling.
That's a good point.
Like, you have probably an ashtray, because this is the 70s.
I wonder. Yeah, like, your clothes would something.
That's like, if you're, like, wearing sunglasses, you're going to fall off your head. Like, you're wearing a hat, it's going to fall off your head.
It's a very good point. I don't know. But I don't know either. I've heard that before, though.
I guess if it's happening very quickly and you don't realize it, maybe.
Maybe you don't have that much time.
Maybe you don't have that much time. But, like, he was corresponding with.
That's true.
You know, the flight control. And that's so. Good. How the hell did he not know he was upside down if he was upside down? Right?
Very good question. I'm going to have to ask some pilot people about this.
Yeah, you do know some pilot people.
I'm going to have to ask them. I'm always thinking of things I should ask them, because they're fucking cool people to just have a conversation
with. Yeah, you should ask and then come back to us from that.
Okay.
Because, yeah, like, I don't understand how you wouldn't know. Right?
No, you make a good point. I never thought about that.
Right, okay.
Totally.
Thank you. I am so smart.
I'm not asking, but that's a very good question for us non-pilots.
I know. Duh. Like, I'm such a pilot girl.
It's called G's.
Duh.
You can handle them. Through G-force.
G-force in a Cessna doesn't seem plausible.
I agree. I also agree. I don't know. Got a propeller, it's probably...
It's not getting a G-force, right?
No, I wouldn't think so, but again, I'm not a pilot.
Yeah, we're definitely not. We're two non-pilots.
This is a couple pilot, like, airplane things in a row. Right?
Oh, yeah. The episode 30.
Not in a row.
No, we did the Donner party. Yeah.
Yeah, Donner party was that. Okay.
Yeah.
Fun.
So there are also some theories that Frederick decided to disappear on his own accord, like you kind of alluded to.
Yeah.
So the main piece of evidence for this theory is that the plane had a lot more fuel than would be needed to fly to King's Island.
Okay.
But for me, I'm like, I'm just topping it off. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Running out of fuel on a flight seems like a bad call.
Yeah, you just always want it as full as possible. I would think so, too.
It's not like you can stop at a gas station.
Totally.
Like a car.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was also a police report submitted of a light aircraft making a mysterious landing near Melbourne around the same time as Frederick's disappearance.
Okay.
I don't know if there was anything that came from that besides just that statement.
They would know.
They would have to know.
They track the tail numbers and stuff. You have to register them. It's a whole thing.
Like, also, if you're filling your tank to fly somewhere, why are you landing in Melbourne?
I don't know.
Why aren't you going to the other side of the country? Right?
Yeah, I mean...
Or Tasmania.
I just don't know where you could land anywhere that you wouldn't be tracked unless you were going to, like, a private...
Airfield?
Yes, and, like, had a deal cut or something.
Maybe. I don't know. It just seems like... He doesn't seem like the most organized man.
Right.
So I can't imagine him planning something like this. Also, why?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I guess he could have also, like, jumped out of it. I don't know how far he was from...
Like a DB Cooper?
Yeah.
4,000 feet. I don't know what elevation you're supposed to jump out of a plane.
With a...
Parachute?
Parachute.
I would hope a parachute. Yeah. Bring your parachutes, kids.
I don't know. I really have no idea.
I have no idea either. So, also, flight services could not pick up the plane on radar or anywhere near Ottawa Bay. So, that leads some to believe that Frederick had flown somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But... I feel like the not radar thing almost kind of adds to the alien theory. If they were, like, tracking it, they probably could have fucked with it, right?
True.
Maybe.
Damn.
There's also the fact that Frederick didn't submit a flight plan to King's Island about his landing, and the fact that he told people different plans. But like I said before, I think because he had scheduled it one day and it got rescheduled for another day.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, kind of where the... discrepancy is.
Sure.
At least for me.
Maybe the friends weren't there.
Yeah.
The other day.
Maybe he was like, okay, well, like, I was supposed to do this day, but now that's not happening because I can't fly over. But I still want to fly over because I want to log my hours.
Yeah, so now I'm going to go do this
thing. So I'm going to go get some crayfish or whatever.
Yeah, reasonable.
Or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe with the flight plan thing, too, I think it was probably, like, he just forgot to submit it.
I don't know.
Maybe that's writing it off in a way, but, yeah, I don't know either.
Good questions.
So some have also speculated that Frederick has decided to take his own life on the fateful flight on October 21st.
Huh?
I don't know if I believe this. So this doesn't seem like the most logical theory, because even though he was not perhaps learning or catching on so quickly as he wanted to, Frederick was still definitely pursuing his dream of being a pilot.
Yeah.
He was not giving that up. Also, a few sources have even said that he put out an engagement ring layaway for Rhonda. So he was, like, making plans.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess it doesn't mean that, like, you're not going to do that, but...
It does seem a little less likely.
Sure.
It's sad, though, if he was abducted.
Right.
It's so sad.
It is upset. I mean, I feel like if you were going to decide to, like, you know, leave this realm on this way, like, why even call in and be like, hey, there's something... Why not just, like, disappear in the water, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, why?
You're right. It's, like, creating chaos.
Yeah, why the extra step?
I don't know. I'm inclined to believe him.
I am, too. Yeah.
I wish we could actually hear, like,
I mean, maybe we'll try again.
I don't think you should try. She tried to play the recording for me, and it was so
She absolutely
trash.
Hated it. It's pretty bad. It's not a great recording. There have been some reenactments of it, but I don't really like to do the reenactments. I guess I could.
I promise it's better.
I
than
like
the
authentic
one.
Shitty audio.
I couldn't hear it at all. Could you hear words?
I could when I played on YouTube.
Oh.
It will play on YouTube.
Okay, you try it. You tell me if it works.
I'm telling you it works.
I feel like it would, first of all, it would be longer, but I feel like it would be helpful to know, like, how scared he sounded.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like, how freaked out everybody seemed.
Right.
It seemed pretty freaked out just from reading the transcript.
I think they're all just, like, confused, if nothing else.
Yeah, and a little, like...
What's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Frederick Valanche's family and Rhonda all believe that he had been abducted on his fateful flight.
Okay, wow. All right.
His parents have passed away, but Rhonda still looks to the sky and wonders what happened on the evening in 1978.
Sad.
And that is the mysterious abduction of Frederick Valentich.
Oh, Frederick. That's too bad.
It's pretty nuts.
What do you think happens if you're abducted by aliens? Are you alive or are you dead?
I think it depends on the alien.
That's a cop-out answer.
Okay, fine. I would say, maybe, if you're abducted, you get a choice.
You'd think so?
They'd be like, do you want to stay with us or do you want to go back?
Really?
Maybe.
You think that many people that, like, just were like, okay, I'm going with you?
Yeah. If I could, like, be abducted by the USS Enterprise and just get to be, like, a space explorer, I might, like, leave.
And your whole family just thinks you disappeared? All your friends and family?
Yeah.
Cold. I think you die for sure.
Really?
Fortunately, yeah.
Oh.
But I do think it's like any other kind of death that, like, you know, whatever's next is,
right?
You know
right.
what I mean? You're good.
You're taking the bus to the next realm.
Yeah, like you're good. It's pretty, you know, tragic for everyone that's left here.
Right.
But as all deaths are.
Yeah, I would like to think that, like, you're
or most of them anyway.
Going some maybe I don't know.
I don't know. Nobody knows.
It's a real big unknown.
But most people do not. Well, I guess some people come back.
Some people do come back. I mean, we talked about the Allagash incident. Like,
it does depend on the alien.
Maybe it depends on the alien. Maybe it depends on their mood.
Damn. You know,
what vibe they're feeling that day. What vibe they're getting from you. Maybe the vibe is like, I want to stay.
Kind of like, hey, today I don't feel like picking up this spider. Today.
I'm going to kill this motherfucker.
I'm going to use my shoe. Damn, maybe that's just how simple it is.
Maybe we're just ants to them. Yeah. Truly, like, there's like, oh, I guess we can use these ones. I don't fucking care. To go feed whatever ant eater, galactic ant eater they have. Like,
well, if that doesn't make you feel like you're lifely problems are a little bit smaller. Should
hope we're not giving you an existential crisis.
I think it's, for me, it's a good way. I'm like, oh, I'm under the status.
You know what? I'm the ants to an alien. This, that's all fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's a good question.
Good story. That's fun.
Right? I'm surprised you hadn't heard that one.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Oh. Well, I found one. Finally.
I like it. I like a water.
A water based.
Airplane over water story.
Do you?
Yeah, we just did the. I liked that one too.
That one was really good too.
Mr. Monopoly.
Alfred Lowenstein. And it was going to come back to me eventually.
You got it.
Yeah, unfortunately, my brain just thinks or remembers stuff that's useless. I guess maybe it wasn't useless in this point, but yeah. Thanks for listening. And it was probably, I don't know if it was a little bit shorter. I can't even tell what time looks like with these things anymore.
Sometimes I bet it was right on top.
Sometimes it's an hour and a half, sometimes it's 45 minutes. You know, sometimes it's just like what the story dictates.
There you go, exactly.
We're not going to add more filler if we need to. Just read transcripts.
We don't have that problem. We're talking too much usually.
You think so?
Yes.
Oh.
100% yes.
Wow. Okay. Tell me you're really
good. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening, guys. We will talk to you next week. And until next time,
stay grimly curious. Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.